The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Very Bold Radio and Podcast with your host, Steve Teal, bringing encouragement through God's Word and through inspiring interviews. Go to verybold.com for information and updates and email steve@verybold.com. And now here's your host, Steve Teal.
All right. Steve Teal, Very Bold Radio and Podcast. All right, y'all, you got to help me. I got this thing. I always say I'm fired up and I'm excited. Am I fired up? Yes. Am I excited? I need some different words. Like Gabby gave me something different. So what do y'all got? Give me something.
Like for fired up.
Yeah.
I'm ready to rock and roll.
I'm ready to rock and roll. Yeah. I'm ready to rock and roll. Yeah. Oh, that's strong. Like that. That's solid. All right. What you got, buddy?
I just say fired up.
Fired up. Okay.
Time to go.
All right.
I like that one.
All right. I love it. Here's the deal. We've got some repeat customers. Oh, yeah. I'm joking off mic because it's like we don't have anything to catch up on. I mean, we have so much to catch up on.
It's been a little while.
We may not even get to talk about Pringles again or enchiladas or any of that.
No more.
Any of that. And I love this interview. This is what happened the first time we did this. Like, I'm asking the questions, but also you guys are asking questions. So you're free. You're going to do that anyway. I love that. Like I'd ask Nathan something and then you'd be like, tell me about the Pringles. I never heard that story.
I was so curious about it.
So you're probably going to get curious about things and just hop in and do it. And then if we have time, we've got the parents. We've got the second largest in-studio audience we've ever had because we don't have Mary Pat here. But we've got Vanessa and Scott Munson. We got Brent over there. So we're having a good time. And, of course, we got the marksman. All right. Here's the deal. I want to introduce – have you put up their nameplates yet? I haven't introduced them. So we've got Nathan Detmer over here. We've got howdy. Aaron Munson. Right, he said howdy.
Wow.
You can take him away from College Station, but you can't take it out of him. So we got Nathan Detmer over there. He is with the Oakland A's as a professional baseball pitcher. A little bit over a year ago, both of these guys were in college. You were at A&M. Aaron was at Angelo State. We do have to visit some of that because, doggone, you won a natty.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
You didn't just win a natty, man. You were the most valuable or most outstanding player of the tournament. Mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness. So we're going to have to visit that a little
definitely,
bit. So,
definitely.
And we got a few number pictures. One of the pictures I got up of you, I think, is you, maybe your ring under the big – I don't know. I'm not an Aggie, so I don't know how it works. Right there.
I made the picture earlier. I was like, I don't have a gig of
time. But first, I do want to start just with you guys both got drafted, Major League Baseball. I want you guys to take us kind of behind the scenes of what that experience was like and, man, what you were feeling. And just for people who don't know, because until, like, I heard, Aaron, some of your experience, I had no idea, like, a team might call you, you know, earlier round and then draft you where you wound up drafted in the 19th round. Mm-hmm. Did I mention you're with the Blue Jays? Did I forget to say that yet? Sorry.
I did?
Okay. All right. So I want to do that. I want to hear just about the draft experience, and then we'll go back and talk about some, you know, your first experiences as a professional ball player. It cracks me up because one time I sent a text to Nathan like, hey, man, is there anything I can pray for, you know? And you want to guess what he said? You'll never guess.
I forget. What did I say?
You don't even remember. You won't guess. You're like, it's so hot here.
Oh.
It's so hot in Arizona. He's like, just pray that it stops being so hot. So for the next 2 weeks, I'd like look at the weather app, and God did not answer my prayer. I'm sorry, Nathan.
He did not.
I tried.
It made me better, so maybe it was a good thing.
It made you better. I love it. I love it. So, who wants to just start by telling us about how's it going to go? Yeah.
So MLB drafts a little different than others.
Okay.
There's more rounds, and then you have the undrafted free agents afterwards.
Okay.
And there's more of like a cap space, I guess you could say, in the drafts. And
okay.
you don't get drafted to go straight to the show like in the other leagues. Like NBA, right. NFL, you just go straight there. You're starting quarterback.
That's right.
Here it's like you got 5-6 levels you got to go up to get.
Yeah.
But it's 3 days long. I'll let you lead off of that since you were the first one out of us.
Yeah. I want to hear about, like, for both of you, when we get to your story and your story, like the emotion. I'm trying to imagine the stress.
Oh. It was the most stressful day, especially with my parents, mostly my
especially
mom. She was probably more stressed than me.
Okay. All right.
But it was pretty stressful, but also super exciting.
Okay.
You know, just watching it on the TV with my family.
Okay.
Watching the draft, watch the rounds go by. You don't know when you're really going to go. And then looked at my phone, got a text from my agent, and he's like, you're about to go in the whatever pick. And
okay.
And it doesn't really hit you until you see your name on there.
Okay.
And right then, you know, all the emotions come in. I was just hugging everyone. I got a call from the area scout, and I couldn't even hear him because my whole family's screaming and yelling. And
yeah,
it was just so exciting.
Okay. Talk to me about some of those nerves leading up. Like, was there a team – do they talk to you ahead of time? Like, does your agent know, like, oh, these three teams are really interested? How does that work?
So I got to go to the draft combine.
Okay.
Which is, like – the more popular, you know, NFL combine, it's similar to that. But okay. I got to meet with a bunch of different teams, and it's kind of like a little job interview.
Okay.
And so I met with probably 8 different teams, and the Oakland A's were not one of them.
That's so, really fascinating.
So I had no idea I was really on their radar until the day that they drafted me. I thought I was going to go somewhere else, but I'm thankful
so
that they picked me up.
So 8 teams, like, sat down with you.
Yes, sir.
But a bunch of teams don't. And
yeah,
one of them was the A's.
The A's
That's
didn't.
Crazy.
I didn't even know they were looking at me, but then I got the call. I was like, hey, let's do it.
Did you have a good combine? Like, what was your combine experience?
So
like?
Because of the college season, I opted out of all the physical stuff. It's mostly the high school guys that are, they have a high school game and they're throwing and running and doing all that. But I was just doing the interview. So,
nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice.
They did some, like, medical stuff for you. Like,
yeah, they did
the
medical.
Healthy,
we did MRIs
stuff
and stuff like that to make sure that you're all good.
Okay. And did everything check out okay?
I was perfectly fine, yeah.
Perfectly fine. That's
luckily,
nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing with all the throwing that you guys do and everything. I mean, it'd be so easy
it's
for
taxing.
Something to be just a little off,
that's
a little wrong.
We had a late round pick. He might have been a free agent, but we got there to, you know, rookie ball. We're doing all the screenings, and they did the MRI, and they found that his UCL was torn, and so they didn't sign him.
Oh my
gosh!
And
it was so sad. We're like all excited to be there, and they're like, "Sorry, we can't sign you." So he just went back home.
So the bigger story is something similar: is Kumar Rocker.
Oh,
it's a bigger name that happened.
Okay.
So
all right,
was it probably 21,
something like that.
So in 21,
yeah,
he got drafted like 4th overall pick.
Okay,
and it turns out his UCL is torn. He came out of Vandy.
Oh my gosh.
So they couldn't sign him. And like, he had all this much money going, all that stuff. So he had to go to Indy ball for a year, get healthy. Then he got redrafted again, like 3rd or 4th overall again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like you got to be healthy for them to sign you.
Right.
Yeah. So it's pretty stressful when you're like, oh, please.
Right.
Please. You're praying. You're like,
yeah,
please. Be
right.
Healthy.
Everything
be
feels
healthy.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you never know. It could be the smallest thing.
I hope.
Yeah.
But.
So when you heard the Oakland A's drafted you, I mean, and you had no idea that they were even interested, like, what are your – you're just happy to be drafted.
Oh,
you're happy – I mean, what are your
– Absolutely. Yeah, just any, really anyone that would – I mean, that would draft you, I want to go.
Yeah.
It was,
Okay. All
super
right.
thankful.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll come back. All right. I want to hear about your draft experience. So does Nathan.
So mine's
Nathan's
a little.
Like,
I want to hear this.
Mine's a little different.
I wasn't there.
I was more of a bubble guy of it actually happening or not. Like, I wasn't as a guarantee like him. He had prestigious college career, all that stuff.
I mean, so did you.
You did too. Yeah, yeah.
But I was more of like just a bubble guy towards him.
Okay,
like,
okay.
It kind of works in baseball. There's so many drafts. They can also – a lot of kids can opt out of the draft pick. So like a lot of teams will draft guys that they know will say no. So they can save money
what?
For cap space.
Save some money.
Yeah,
it's
so like the Dodgers in the 20th round drafted DJ Ukulele, however you say his name.
Yeah. He plays
football.
Yeah,
the former quarterback.
Even though he hasn't
Oregon
played
State.
Baseball in 4 years.
They
so like,
drafted
there's,
him.
There's a big thing all over the internet. It's like, why you draft that guy? Like all these guys want chances and you end up just drafting
what?
That guy. Yeah. So a lot of people just draft people that they know will say no to save money.
Save them.
That's crazy
so
because they
I
have,
got lucky.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of people said no. A lot of people kind of just. I kind of slided down the draft board a little bit, or I went up actually because a lot of people said no. So thankfully, everything worked out for a reason, and I got drafted in the 19th round.
Okay.
So, but I was day 3. I knew the first 2 days were, no, not going to happen. I'll be more of a 10 through 20 round guy.
Okay.
Maybe an undrafted free agent. But It was really stressful. I mean, not the first 2 days. He kind of knew. I was like, okay, I'm not going to go these first 2 days. Like, nothing happened.
Yeah.
And then day three comes around. I was like, okay, today might be a day. Talking to my agent. He's like, hey, today, I think today's a good day.
Okay.
My area scout kind of followed me all throughout the entire year. I've been on Zoom calls with them, all that stuff.
This is the Blue Jays area scout. I mean, most of us don't know. You guys do, and they do, but area scouts, like, okay. So the Blue Jays are the Athletics area scout.
Yeah, so when
scout.
It gets to the later rounds, they kind of just go off by what the area scout says.
Okay.
Like him, he probably had national cross-checkers all over there, like all the big names in the org.
Okay.
I was more of like just area scout, like they trust that guy kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
But I kind of just flew down, got to the 19th. Well, they called me in the 15th. They offered me – I was like, nothing to like bypass my fourth year of school, you know.
Oh, true.
So the 15th round is when they call.
They call me in the 14th. 14th. For the 15th. Yeah. So then they gave me, and I was like, I don't know. I'll probably just go back to school.
Oh my god.
And they came around.
Negotiate a little bit.
Yeah, you got. It's kind of a negotiation at the end of the day.
Yeah. So this is like for people who don't know, like enlighten us, the signing. You're not going to tell us. We're not going to ask you your signing bonus, but they're talking about signing bonus money, right?
Yeah. So they're they call me and they're like, hey, like, do you want this much? I was like, I don't know. I don't want to bypass my graduate college.
Yeah.
For that, I was like, I kind of want a little more. Like, if I'm going to bypass my fourth year.
And you're telling your agent that?
Yeah. I did everything through the agent.
Okay, all right.
And he's like, yeah, I agree. Like,
he agreed. Yeah. Okay,
so,
good.
Luckily, they matched what I wanted. And
now, wait, you're like skipping some of the drama because, like, they're talking about drafting you in the 15th, right?
Wow, okay. Well,
give
15th through
19th. Right, Nathan, right? Do we need more?
I need some info.
15th through 19th, we're at home. I was frustrated. I was like, oh, it's not going to happen. I kind of screwed it. Oh, darn it. So it was getting a little heated in the house. I was like, dang it. They're all like, call him back. I'm like, I can't call him back. I was like, it's over. I'm going back to school, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go graduate and get my degree. And then, I don't know. I first found out my college coach, Coach Brooks at Angelo State, the head coach, texted me, congratulations.
I was like, what? You're coming back. Congratulations.
I was like, what are you talking about? And then I got like a lot more texts. And then it popped up on the screen. I was like, oh, okay. That happened. That's pretty cool.
That's so awesome.
They found out before you knew, right?
That's so cool.
I think our little tracker was a little behind than other people's. It's on the internet. So
okay.
Some people see it before some other
people. That's crazy.
So I guess they saw it before me.
That's awesome.
And the coaches are in it too. Like they'll call the coaches
throughout
the day and all that stuff.
So
they kind of had like an idea leading up to it.
Yeah. So there was some stress there for you of like, did I make a mistake?
Yeah.
I mean, wow. And then they came through and you got the money. That I mean, that's
amazing. It's a negotiation at the end of the day. Like a lot of people won't sign for like the first day or like won't like agree to it because they want more money. So some teams will have to wait for like a couple of days till the draft's over who said no so they can give them that money.
Okay.
Like it happens all the time.
Yeah. So okay. All right.
It happens with quite a lot of people because you try to negotiate to what you want because, I mean, you want some money to like say, oh, it doesn't work out. I have some like a fallback plan like with some money. So at the end of the day, it's just
It's all game, money game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, talk to us because I think a lot of people who just, you know, like you said, there's so many levels to climb through. So when we think of like, oh, they got drafted. Oh, they have they're going to get paid tons of money. They get signing bonus money. Oh. But then what happens?
Then it's really – minimum wage.
Well, luckily, they came out just before COVID. So it used to be minimum wage. You got to pay for housing, got to pay for all this food, all this stuff. So a lot of people were sitting like five to a room in like this Airbnb or whatever it is. So air mattresses, people living on air mattresses. You got to sign a lease and you don't know if you're going up or down. So it's kind of stressful. Yeah. You can have like three leases going at the same time. Yeah. But now it's like they have to pay for housing. They have to pay for two meals a day. They have to pay so much. And they up the pay a little bit. So now everything we get, we just pocket it and put in our savings, which is nice.
Okay.
That is very
all right.
It used to not be like that. But the players union?
The players union,
they came together and said, hey, we need housing. This isn't right. Yeah.
But I think also happened because during COVID, they shut down. It was like got rid of three teams. They got rid of three levels. So I guess you could save money so it helps out.
Well, that makes a big difference. But I think people just think like, oh, they're making so much money. But, you know, you go to the minor league ballpark. Yeah.
Not really.
Well, we're living nice because, I mean, we don't have to pay for anything. I mean, everything we just get, we just put in our pocket.
And it's kind of the best job in the world.
Yeah,
being able to play baseball, it's worth it no matter what you make.
Okay.
You're with all your buddies. Everybody's the same mindset. It's pretty cool. It's pretty fun. Everyone's really nice usually. So
I'm really curious about professional baseball, the players that you're meeting, mm-hmm. the friends that you're making versus college. I know it's competitive. Like in college, you're competing against other guys. But the guys that – I mean, you're trying to move up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, like, is the friendship still the same or is it a little bit more distant, a little different?
Yeah.
What do y'all think?
I think it's a little bit both.
It's both.
Okay.
But it definitely is different
okay.
to think about, like, mentally, because obviously your teammates, you want your team to do good. The friends that you make, you want them to do good. But really, that's your competition.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying.
So, in college, it's, he gets to play.
Yeah, in competition.
I'm not going to get to play. Now it's like – he's going to get paid more than me.
He's going to move up. He's going to take my spot.
Yeah, and then my job's gone. Like in college, it's like you're kind of guaranteed. Like, hey, you're here for the year, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Now it's like that guy could move me up and kick me out of the org kind of thing.
Right.
So
it is a different thought process. Yeah. But I think having the roots of being a great teammate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And not being selfish. Mm-hmm. That really helps.
They'll notice
They'll definitely know. That plays into the role of if you're going to get moved up, if you can be a great teammate.
Good locker room guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Sure. Out of like 10 guys around you, like how many are good locker room guys? And is there like one or two that, oh man, that guy's kind of selfish? What's the ratio?
I'd say there's a higher ratio of good teammates.
I would say it's 70-80% good guys.
Yeah,
okay. Have the kind of strays.
But then, of course, there's got to be some that are, you know, all to themselves and only care about the money.
I want his downfall to happen. I don't want to, you know.
They want you to get hurt or something. Mm-hmm. Like, just not very good guys. But
okay.
We can't communicate to half of them, so we don't know.
Yeah, some don't.
What'd you say?
So we can't communicate to more than half of them, so we don't know.
What's the ratio of people that are coming from wherever, the Dominican or wherever?
I'd say almost like 60% is international.
I was going to say 60
in both organizations?
Maybe 70 at the end of the day.
Okay, that's interesting. All right. All right, help us like with the process of I know we got a couple of pictures of you guys like signing and stuff. So you get drafted. How soon are you like at the facility signing? What is that? How's that work?
I think – what was it, a week?
I got drafted Tuesday, so you were probably that Monday,
the
right?
Monday. I think it was a week.
I went Friday. It was the next Friday. 3 days later, I was out.
Just about a week, half a week.
Okay.
Something like that.
At that point, pretty soon. Okay. Yeah. And at that point, you have like a spoken contract, just like, I mean, it's not official until you sign, but.
Yeah. It's technically not official, but.
Okay.
They're going to, fly you out and.
So you you talk to your area scout or the scout you're that like representing you.
Yeah.
You get on a Zoom call and it's like, hey, here's this, this, and this. You get a bunch of emails.
Yeah.
Bunch of paperwork just on the internet, obviously, and then they just fly you out, put you in a hotel.
And you get there, put you in a hotel, and then you go through blood work, X-rays, MRIs, make sure you're all good.
Okay,
and then if you're good, then you sign, and it's official.
Yeah.
Okay,
mine was on my phone.
Really?
It wasn't on paper. The paper was just for the photo.
Oh, really?
I signed on a blank piece of paper.
Oh, what the? Wow. Yeah, we thought – we had practice.
That's awesome.
We had practice that morning, and they were like, oh, by the way, after practice, y'all can go sign. We're like, wait, what? And so I thought it was going to be some great thing, like all the cameras everywhere, like this is an awesome moment. No, she was like, just sign here. I was like, oh, that's it.
Okay.
It's over.
Yeah. We had a big media day for it. We had a single day. It just depends on the works.
You could tell just by the picture, because they gave you like a number 19 and stuff.
Yeah, they put the number, the round you're drafting on your back. Yeah. And it was a big media day.
Yeah.
I think, well, obviously.
Do you see that picture, Mark? I want to see it up there. Can you find it? Like if you just scroll down a little.
Well, it's obviously a little different than any other team because we're for a whole nation of Canada.
That is.
Yeah.
So it's a whole nation. So I
guess. If not, that's okay. I think it's that one that you're about to – the two that are blue in the background are Aaron signing to the right. Yeah. That one? Yeah. That one. Yeah, that's him signing. And then Nathan's like the shot is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's kind of overhead and stuff, which brings me to another question. I want to know the difference between like have you guys talked about the organizations?
Not really, actually.
I mean – like, what is that experience like? Just the difference. I mean, I don't know what your organization's like.
I think the biggest difference would be the spring training facilities. I'm in Arizona. He's in Florida.
So mine's the grapefruit.
Grapevine?
Grapefruit league. Yeah, I'm in the cactus league.
Cactus league. Okay.
That's for the big spring training.
Spring training. Yeah.
Okay.
You call it that, I guess. But yeah, I'd say that's the biggest difference. Just the location.
Okay.
And then what else? I don't know. We haven't really talked about that.
So. It's really hard because every organization is different.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it's really hard because obviously everyone's different.
Mm-hmm.
They do things differently. They treat their players differently.
Okay.
They go by this process differently. It's just
Okay.
It's usually you don't find very similar things.
Okay.
Obviously, besides the game of baseball. Uh-huh. Like, that's the only really similarity.
Right.
We were talking about it today that during the off season, you have an app that they send your workouts to and what your throwing program is and stuff like that. But we use different apps. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. I thought everyone used the same one.
Sure. Yeah. But, yeah. Wow. Okay. All right.
So everyone has every organization has a little different, different ways they do things.
But, right. Yeah. Okay.
Some treat their players when they get drafted differently. Like obviously they shut a lot of you guys down. Like so you guys get there.
When I got drafted. Not that bad.
They're like, don't throw though.
So they,
what happened?
I got shut down for a good while because of the college season.
Okay.
And so they were like, you can just chill, take your time ramping back up to throwing.
Okay.
And, so I didn't get to – it took too long, so I didn't get to send out to any minor leagues last year. I just stayed in rookie ball in Arizona.
Okay.
But Aaron got sent out to low A, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're like, all right, time to get going. Let's get going. Yeah. Okay. I was like, I haven't thrown baseball in quite a while. I don't know what to do. Like, so, yeah. But they got a lot of us to go, and they sent a lot of us to affiliate ball, which is in low A in Dunedin. And, I mean, they just sent us right away, which it's different because every team treats their players differently.
Yeah, okay.
And it also comes down to if there's some spots opening, if some guys are moving up.
Injuries.
That could play a role,
that
too.
That also plays.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to pitch in low A. You made your debut.
So I made my debut in rookie ball, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Through there one game, and then I got called up the next day. They're like, hey, you want to go to low A? I was like, sure.
I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, let's do it. I was so pumped up about it. But
How did it go?
I did good. I mean, I didn't throw too much. I only threw 9 innings, but I went well. I did good.
Okay. 9 innings over how many games are we talking about?
5 outings.
Something like that. Okay.
Yeah, I was more of a – at the beginning, it was more of a, hey, you're going to go out there, throw an inning, maybe get 2 innings in you. Yeah. And then the last one, I got to start. They're like, hey, you're starting tomorrow. I was like,
let's go.
Okay, tomorrow? Fine. Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, so I only got 9 innings.
Yeah. And that start, I know those numbers were really good. I can't remember how many innings you went.
I just went 3 innings.
Yeah. But what was good? Maybe a hit?
I think 2 hits. 2 strikeouts and no walks.
Yeah.
No runs.
Yeah, right?
That's money.
Right? Yeah. That's money.
That's
right
how you
there.
Do it.
That's money right there.
But.
All right, so did you get to pitch then or no? They literally shut you down?
They shut me down for a while, but I did get to pitch in rookie ball, but I didn't get sent out anywhere, so I stayed in Arizona.
Right.
But, yeah, I pitched, I think, only like three outings. Only like an inning apiece. Really not too much. And then the season was over.
It was over, yeah.
But, yeah, did pretty good. Felt awesome. I was pretty nervous.
I was freaking out.
I was so nervous. And there was no one in the stands.
That's weird.
It was weird. There's no one there, and I was so nervous still.
In the back of your mind, you're like, am I good enough? How am I going to play at that level?
Oh, definitely.
You know?
Yeah. It was mental mostly.
And all you hear about from the Blue Jays is, you don't want to play the Yankees minor league. You don't want to play the Yankees.
Oh, and then you got to play.
And then I get my first out is like, oh, you're playing against the Yankees. I was like, oh no.
Wait,
why did they
say you don't want to?
Because they're really good.
Oh, this is really the Yankees.
Like,
the Yankees.
They're really, like, they're some organizations are just better than others.
Okay.
And the Yankees are one of the top. It's like Yankees and Dodgers are like up here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So. Okay.
They're nasty.
So they're like, you don't want to do that. And then that's what you got to do.
Yeah. Like, I go out there, their starting pitchers sitting 99-101.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like,
guys,
what do I do now?
Help me.
Yeah, that's what it was like.
That was good.
So I was like, oh, gosh. Okay, there's pro ball.
Well, once you get that first outing, honestly, the first inning, like afterwards you're like, I've done this since I was 6.
Okay.
Like, it's the same thing.
First pitch, it's really my first strike. You're like,
All right. Is that how it worked for you?
Definitely.
Okay.
Building up, though, that leading up to it,
shaking out there.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Mm-hmm. All right, let me ask you this. Was just the start of you're drafted and you have, like, expectation of what it's going to be like or no expectation. How was it different than what you imagined?
You hear stories.
I think
– You already hear stories? Yeah. What do you got, Nathan?
I think the biggest difference for me was – I guess I would say – You're a professional now. You get treated like a professional. And in college, there's always a guy there that kind of tells you what to do or make sure you're on time or whatever. But really, now it's on you.
Okay.
So if you're late, you're late. They don't really care.
You're fine. You get fined if you're late.
Yeah, you get fined.
Okay.
And if, like, for our workouts and stuff, they'll give it to you. They're like, go do this instead of, you know, teach you how to
run things. There's always someone watching.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, there's always someone with you.
Yeah.
You're like, because you're kind of like an asset now, almost. So like, you can't leave them alone, because if they get hurt, then it comes back on me.
Mm. Okay.
So there's always somebody watching. Mm. So it's a little. And then college is like, oh, let's go do this, this, this. So.
I mean, that's a big.
He went to a bigger school, so it was probably a little different than that. I went to a smaller, not as well-funded school.
Not as well-funded, but I've seen rankings going across social media that say Angelo State's the best team
not
in Texas.
Not right now.
I saw that somewhere.
Struggling.
Right?
They're
struggling.
There are a lot of injuries, injuries right now.
Okay.
Dealing
all
right.
Okay. All right. Okay, I see. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I had another question, and it's just flitting about. So if I don't come up with it, I'll go to the bullpen. But
I love it,
man. All right. So you pitch. You get a couple of innings. You do that, and then what? No, I know what I was going to ask. Here it is. Mark, cut out the last 8 minutes of me trying to figure it out. Just kidding. Describe for us like just a typical day, and maybe there's not a typical day, but I mean, are you at the park at 7 a.m.? Are you, I mean, give us like for each of you, what is sort of a typical day? When do you get there? How long are you there? This is different than college. Who wants
for to? Us, right. It was usually practices at 8. And so when I was in Arizona for rookie ball, I didn't have a car. So I just flew out and we were just there.
Oh, okay.
And so a van will pick you up at 7:30 or whatever it was. And then
a hotel?
Yeah, from our hotel. Okay. And then take you to the facility, practice at 8. Well, we'll eat before. They'll feed us breakfast, which is nice. They used to not do that. And that's nice. And then, you know, have practice. There will be everyone kind of splits up into whatever group there is. So
pitchers
will go do their PFP, pitcher fielding practice.
Thank you.
Whatever they need to do. Hitters will do their thing. And then usually around 12 or something, there's a game.
Pretty much
every day.
Yeah. Okay.
And
okay.
Then whoever's for pitchers, it's kind of nice. If you're throwing, then you got to, you know, stay, do your routine. But if you're not, then you kind of get a chill and eat lunch.
Watch the game.
Yeah, watch the game.
Hang out.
Okay. And then that's really it. You usually get home 2. And then I would always take a nap. I don't know about you. I would take a nap.
You would go and play golf.
I didn't have my clubs.
It's Florida, so yeah. I got to go play golf, right?
That's nice.
Yeah. Florida.
Arizona, too. Arizona has some sweet
I'm bringing my clubs this time.
It might be a little better weather now than when you were there.
In the summer.
120 degrees playing golf.
Brutal.
That would not be good.
That
would not be good. All right. So pretty much the same for you?
I would say it's pretty much the same. It's a little different in season, obviously, but like spring training, we were during draft camp is what we called it the first couple weeks. And rookie ball is, we got really early, like bus left at like 6:30 in the morning. So I'm waking up at 5:50 in the morning. I'm like, I've never done this before.
Wow.
All that stuff. And you get there, get done, kind of pretty much the same thing. Pitchers go do their own thing, hitters go do their own thing. And if there's a game that day, the game will start around 12, 2 o'clock, somewhere around that time.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you watch that game and go home. But if there's not a game that day, you go home, you get back at like 1 at the latest.
They
feed you breakfast and lunch, then you just go to sit in the hotel. I bought an Xbox. It was one of the first things I bought.
That's
sweet. I was like, I can't sit in a hotel all day and just not do it.
Oh,
so we all went and bought Xboxes, bought like a little game monitor setup
Nice.
But when you get into like affiliate ball in the season, all the games are at 6:30 at night.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's completely different. I mean, you show up at the field at 2:30 in the afternoon. You can sleep in till 1 if you wanted to.
Oh, okay.
So you get there at 2:30, games at 6:30. The biggest jump for me was you're throwing 3 hours before the game. Like we were throwing like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Where in college for us
it was right before
the game.
Right before
For
bullpen guys.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest jump. Game happens and it's probably around 9:30, 10, depending on how long the game went.
Yeah.
If it was a fast paced game or not. And then you just go home, hang out, go to bed usually around 1 or 2. And then wake up 10, 12, wherever.
Do it again.
That day, do it again.
Do it all again.
Do it all again.
I haven't experienced that, so
that's really fun. I love it.
I mean,
being in the clubhouse is just super fun. I just love talking to all the guys. Everyone's messing around. There's a ping pong table. It's really competitive.
You're a clubhouse guy, man.
No,
you just
love it all.
So
I love it. It's so much fun.
Okay. So
you're going to love it.
I'm excited.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about, like, your hopes or expectations. Like, how does it work now? Like you guys, they don't know this. I mean, except for the true baseball fans, you guys are about to fly out. I mean, when are you leaving, Aaron?
Sunday. I fly out Sunday.
Sunday.
I'm driving Sunday.
You're driving?
I'm driving to Arizona.
You got that vehicle.
Yes, sir. I got to bring the truck.
Okay. All right.
This time around.
Okay. All right. So what are your – I mean, yeah, what happens next basically and what are you hoping?
I heard
they usually – they kind of already have an expectation for you, kind of where you're going to start.
For a lot of guys.
Okay.
But then there's also bubble guys. Back to the bubble. Yeah, so it depends on how your spring training went. If you had a really good spring training, if you're that bubble guy, they'll jump you up to that level you're on the bubble with.
Okay.
And if not too good, then they'll put you back to where the other team that you're with. So for me, my expectations, I'll just start in low again.
I'm looking to start in high, hopefully.
Okay.
I'm not sure what they have planned, but hopefully have a good spring training. They'll send me there.
Okay.
And just stay healthy and work your way up from there. That's all you can do, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, I mean, bubble guys, I'm talking about like maybe two or three guys. Like it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty clear cut.
Usually they know what group they're going to send out where and what level.
Okay.
Usually they know.
It's all business too at the end of the day. So it's like whoever got more money, they're going to want to fast track a little more.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
So it's business in the day. So like, even if you have better numbers, did better at spring training, that guy who's more of a prospect, they're going to push up above you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unless if I come out throwing 100, but
So you have to overcome a little bit more because you might have better numbers, but because they've invested whatever X amount of money, and it's also going to make the GM or whoever does the drafting.
Yeah,
I mean, so they're like looking out for the higher draft picks.
People don't really talk about that in the baseball world.
That's true.
You get treated not. It's not really different. There's just more eyes on those guys.
Because they're trying
to make that prospect list.
Yeah, it makes the business people look better if they. You know, keep moving up and do better.
Yeah, because if you have those big guys not on the prospect, if they're still down, it looks bad on them because they're the ones that drafted them.
Right.
So it's just business at the end of the day, which you just got to deal with.
Okay. So. All right. Anything else about just professional baseball? I do want to talk a little bit about you winning the College World Series. I'm looking at the clock. We got the pitch clock. It's 10 minutes, and I want to let them if they have a question or two.
What's that?
So, and I want to start with you and your last year at Aggieland. What sort of memory stands out for you as like something like special or anything?
I don't know. Just playing. Okay. Really. Well, I guess the biggest moment was – actually playing in the regional in Stanford.
That's pretty cool.
That was awesome. And I remember my parents came to visit me. We were eating at some, I don't know, what it was like breakfast place. And I was actually, before our game that day, or maybe it was an off day, but we were watching on our phone, Aaron pitching in the College World Series.
What?
Before our game. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. That was a moment that stood out to me. I want to hear more about that.
That's so cool. Wow, that's cool. It's also fun because last year you were talking about like you were driving up for ball up in the East Coast and you're watching him pitch in the College World Series while
Mom
he was driving.
Mom did not like that.
Mom did not like that. All right, well, talk to us about, amazing College World Series. I mean, we talked about it last year, like going for the whole thing, the whole enchilada. Mm-hmm. And you guys did it.
We got the whole enchilada and more.
Oh, for real.
That's awesome.
It was kind of – it felt like destiny almost because it was like the same core group of guys.
Dang, but that's strong.
It was like the same core group of guys that I have been with since my freshman year. Like you had guys who've been there, done it. We've all gone there. We experienced what it takes to win there. So like going for the third time, you know what it takes to win there, obviously.
Okay.
The talent of level it takes, the style of game it takes to win. But we had a really good group of guys. I mean, we had me, my buddy, Cade Bragg, who's also the D2 pitcher of the year.
Right.
Phenomenal season. So we had.
He was the D2 pitcher of the year. Mm-hmm. But I keep going, but I have a question based off of that because he was the D2 pitcher of the year. Okay, go on. Come back to that.
I mean, our offense was a very veteran lineup, been there, done it. So it was like all the cards kind of played in our favor almost.
Okay.
And we just went out there. We played really well. We weren't as nervous as past years.
Because
obviously
we've
experienced it.
Yeah.
So Coach Brooks kind of let us do our own thing. Like we were bumping like a turtle box, like everything while we walked through the stadium. I think there's a bunch of country music and all these guys play like rap and everything. So we said we're the Texas team, you know. We wear boots and jeans at the we're wearing boots and jeans. Everyone had like a belt buckle on at the banquet. That we do before.
That's awesome.
You gotta embrace it. Yeah.
So we're like, we kind of just embraced it, and then a lot of people doubted us too. being smaller stature, we weren't like that big flashy, oh, we're going to hit 5 home runs today.
Okay.
We're going to
just win.
We're going to get on base. We're going to steal. We're going to get him over. We're going to score him. We're going to play a little tedious baseball game.
Little tedious.
All the little small things the right way. So that's what we did. We went out and we played really well, won the 4 games we needed to win.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's my question. So he was the D2 pitcher of the year, but you were given the ball in the opening, first game and the championship game. I mean, talk to me about that. How cool is that?
It was pretty cool, but it was kind of –
It was pretty cool.
But,
we had an idea we wanted to hit him against North Greenville.
Okay.
North Greenville was like the big bag. North Greenville, like everyone – you need your best guy against them they're really good.
Okay.
All of them are ACC, SEC bounce backs. All seen it, done that.
Okay.
So we're like, yeah, we're going to let – we believe – well, and Southern New Hampshire, scouting report is they don't – hit the breaking ball very well.
Oh,
and I have two
okay.
I have two breaking balls where he was more of like a fastball guy.
Okay.
So, and Greenville struggled against lefties.
Okay. So all right.
That's perfect.
We had the idea set up. And then our third guy, Braxton Pearson, did really well in the third game, and our bullpen held up, and we just went out there.
What about the championship game? You started that, right?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I was not nervous. I don't know why.
Really?
It just felt like another game to me.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, in D2 World Series, you play in front of parents and family.
Still, it was a World Series.
Rather than all the thousands of fans. I get more scared for when it's like bigger stage, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just like, or another baseball game kind of thing.
That's true.
But I try to treat it as that.
You got to treat every game. Try and treat every game
because
like
that. As long as you get in here, game's over. It's not going to go what you want. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Okay.
Went out there, did well.
I would say.
No big deal.
Most outstanding player. You know, that's all right.
It's okay. Good 2 games. That was it.
There you go.
Good two games.
I just was able to put them back to back.
It all worked out.
All right. I got another question before your dad answers. You got to throw out the first pitch. Angelo State, how'd that go?
Oh, horrible. That was the worst pitch.
Really?
I was the most nervous I've ever been throwing a baseball.
Wow.
Just throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah, because like I tried it the day before at DST, and I just got on the mound. I was trying to like lob it nowhere near the strike zone.
You
got to
throw it hard.
So I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to throw on the mound. I'm going to go in front of the mound and throw it. I lobbed it. I mean, the guy was squatted down. He almost like jumped up to his left to grab it. And I just, oh, crap.
That's great.
It's okay.
That's hilarious.
I've thrown this mound plenty. So.
That is so funny. All right, I let them ask a question, do you guys have any other questions for each other? You may not. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but or any other thing you just want to tell us about? Anything else going on in your life? Like, you have a girlfriend.
I do.
Jaden, she's pretty awesome, right?
She's done awesome with the fact that we are cross country, so
it's a little
harder.
Okay.
So.
For sure.
But she's done, we've been great. So.
All right. But, cool. All right. Any other big news or anything we should know?
No.
All right. No girlfriend?
No.
Okay. All right. No other questions for each other?
Are you going to graduate?
Oh, good question.
I know.
No?
No, I'm still.
Yeah, I mean, you got the ring.
Working, I got the ring, but graduating sometime. I'm just going to work on it slowly but surely.
Are you going to work on it slowly?
Yeah, I'll take some online classes and hopefully graduate.
Are you going to do this semester? Are you in school right now?
No, I'm not.
You took it off too?
I took it off. Off semester.
She was mad at me. She's like, you got to keep doing it. I was like, I want this first full season.
I'll do it next year.
Yeah.
And then next year comes.
I don't want to do it again.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be one of the nicest things about going from college to pro is that you don't have classes.
And they pay for it.
And they paid for it. That's nice, too.
That helped a lot. You don't realize how much energy and effort just going to school and focusing for that long takes and then having to practice after that or a game.
Yeah.
But being – just all your 100% energy all on baseball, it made a whole difference.
Yeah.
It helped a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to say one other thing because I got to go to a couple of games of yours and a couple of games of yours, one up in Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Angelo State, D2, but like the biggest attendance in D2. I mean, like it's legit. You know, you're pitching in front of thousands of people on some nights.
So Brooks has done a great job. I mean, he's been the only coach there since it started in 2005.
Okay.
He's not had a losing season.
That's amazing.
We have a very like just prestigious record, so I'd give that to him. Like, he's been able to do that. I mean, the community loves us.
Especially if you win, people are going to want to watch.
Yeah,
it's just good baseball. I mean, they love the small ball aspect of it.
Yeah,
they play.
True. Yeah.
So it's fun.
That's nice. Okay. All right. Anything else? I'm looking at them. Scott's Brent is ready. All right. Mark, you ready?
Yeah. in minor league, get to play with a bunch of guys that come in from all over the country, from high school to college, maybe even your organization. Do some name drops. Who'd you fangirl over that you met or faced or met the first time?
That's a good question.
Oh my gosh. That's great. When I go to spring training, it's going to be completely different because you see all the big leaguers. So I can't wait for that.
That'll be cool.
But I would say just like our first rounder this year is the very first Indian descent first rounder ever. So I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, I want to meet him. He's just a normal high school kid. Mm. You know how high school is.
Yeah.
Just a normal high school kid.
I'm trying to think.
Good friend Jerron, when I saw him on TV. I mean, you watch this YouTube channel, Wheels, that I watch in college. Okay. That's like all I do in college is just watch baseball, like D1 baseball games, and they cover that. So, like, you see all these guys that I've just been, like, watching from a smaller school, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So I kind of fangirled all of them. I don't want
to
tell them
that. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. All right.
I don't know. I guess I never really fangirled. Oh, yeah. I guess that's a good one. I didn't even think about that.
Ricky Henderson.
So Ricky Henderson is a coach for the A's. And I didn't realize that. And I walk into breakfast one day, and he's just sitting there at a table by himself. And I sat down on the table across, and I was with my friend. I was kind of whispering. I was like, is that Ricky Henderson? Like, I swear that's him. And everyone's like, I think that's him. And so we go over and like shake his hand, like, nice to meet you. He's like, hey, what's up? He was the coolest guy ever.
Really?
And I bet he could still beat me in a race to this day.
But it's weird because you want to go up to the guys, but there's a thing in baseball, big leaguers kind of portray as kind of not the nicest people because they deal with that day-to-day basis.
It seems like it.
But like, they deal 162 games. They deal with that every single game. So it's also like, I don't want to go like intrude into his space. I kind of want to like give him his room. Yeah. But at the same time, you're like, I want to go like that.
That's him.
That's true.
That's true.
I love it.
That was really cool.
Oh, yeah. That's good. All right, Scott. Man, we're almost at our hard stop. You got something, I know. You just want to be on the mic.
No. Hey, did Ricky say, hey, I'm Ricky?
You know, he talked about himself in the third person. He did.
Oh my gosh! Great question. That's great follow up question. That's good.
That's a good question.
That's your only question. That's all you got. I can't believe it. That was a good one though. That was a good one. Vanessa, you got something? You don't? All right. You're just enjoying it. It's awesome. All right. Well, great job, guys. Anything else you want to say to anybody out there or anything?
Just dream big.
Oh yeah.
Enjoy the game. The minute you stop loving it is the minute. I mean, it just kind of all goes downhill.
Okay.
Baseball is a game you have to love. I mean, it's day to day. I mean, we're going to sit through 120 games this year, at least.
Okay.
From the middle of April all the way till the end of August. Yep. It's a long season, so you just got to learn to love it.
Yeah. Just work hard and have fun.
You got to learn to get away from it, too.
Okay.
Like because they preach you, like, at the baseball field, it's baseball time, but away from the field, like, go have a life. Go be normal. Fun. Go do you, because it's like, if it's baseball, someday it's going to, like...
It's going to consume you. Yeah.
Wow, that's good advice.
It gets the best of you, so...
Okay.
Yep. But all those little kids, just keep playing. Have fun.
Have fun.
Enjoy it while you can. Oh, yeah. As soon as it gets to high school and higher...
It turns into business.
Yeah. So how do you... Last question, and we'll let Mark go. How do you enjoy, I mean, when it is a business? Like, how do you make yourself just still love it and enjoy it?
Something that I always like is... Seeing your teammates doing well and have fun as well.
Okay.
You know, seeing those guys succeed always makes it fun for me. And
knowing
the work that you put in with them in the weight room or just during practice and then seeing them succeed.
Okay.
And then also when they succeed, you do too. Yeah. So that really makes it fun and it makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
I love trying to learn the other culture, international kids. That's really fun to me.
That is really
fun. I love showing up the field and just like, like, I go up to be like, what's up, Keloke?
You try
to speak Spanish. I'm really bad at it. But you try to go have fun with them. I think it's just fun. I mean, also fangirling over some people helps.
Oh, that makes
like, you
fun.
Seeing some people, you're like, that guy's a dude. Like, I see everything. You read about him all the time. You're like, okay, I want to go watch him. Like, I want to go, like, watch what he does, how he goes,
like,
about,
how
his
he goes about his business.
Yeah, so.
That makes it
I mean, like,
fun.
I mean, I'll sit there and watch 3 hours worth of bullpens if there's just –
Oh, yeah.
Every single dude's throwing. I'll be like, I'll sit there. I'll watch it. I'll be like, you try to pick up on little things to make you better.
So. Okay.
That all definitely makes it more fun.
That's awesome. All right. We had other questions, but we're out of time. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
We got to have – man. We got to book you again already. We're getting ready for next year.
We'll
be excited just to catch up and see what's going on. So for now, I just want to remind people what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold.
Very Bold Radio and Podcast with your host, Steve Teal, bringing encouragement through God's Word and through inspiring interviews. Go to verybold.com for information and updates and email steve@verybold.com.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.